Hello, hello, and welcome to the Inner Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Carolina, and I'm so grateful you're listening today. I am so excited for today's episode because we have a very special guest.
It's Pedro. Hello.
Welcome to the pod. Welcome again.
If you guys don't know, I'm Carolina's husband, so hi.
Hello.
I don't do these often.
So yeah, this is the second time we have Pedro on the show. We had another episode together literally like a year ago, probably a little bit more than a year ago. So we're back at it again. And the reason I wanted to record this episode together is that I am leaving New York tomorrow. And this is our last day together until the wedding week.
Yes.
So indeed. Yeah, we're going to be apart for a week and a half. And since this is kind of like the very, very last bit before the wedding, I thought it would be cool to do a couple's Q&A and just kind of talk about the wedding, how we're feeling, and answer some of you guys' questions. So I did some Q&A boxes on Instagram, and you guys submitted some juicy questions. So we're going to dive into them today. And yeah, are you excited?
Very much excited for the juicy questions.
Amazing.
They're not that juicy. They're nice questions, juicy? But they're not juicy.
Yeah, they're not juicy. They're good questions, though.
But we'll spill the juice.
We'll spill the tea.
I guess
so. Yeah, as always, we will show up honestly and speak our truth. So I'm excited. And before we dive in, I feel like we could give them a little refresher on how we know each other. So I'll let you tell the story because I actually kind of dove into it in last week's episode, which was my experience as a bride and kind of like the whole wedding planning journey. So I'll let you give your Spark Notes version of how we met and how we're together.
Okay. Quick Spark Notes. Then. Carolina and I, our parents know each other. And I think my mom met her mom when they were like 15. Stop laughing.
I'm laughing because every time people ask us to tell the story of how we met, Pedro's like, it was an arranged marriage.
No, it wasn't really an arranged marriage. Come on. Can't say that in the podcast.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm kidding. I was laughing.
But I do say that sometimes. But either way, going back to this story, Carolina's mom and my mom are friends, like really, really like lifelong friends. And so when I was born, I'm 2 years older than Carolina. So when I was born, 2 years past my first 2 years of life, didn't know her. But after that, I knew her. That was kind of like, you know, I ever since I remember something, I remember her. So she's always been around. But there was also that 2 year difference between us. And when you're kids, that is way, it looks way bigger than it actually is. So Carolina and I, the first time we hung out together, just us two, was during COVID in 2020 in Florida. And soon after that, week or two, we started dating.
Not even a week or two. We hung out alone for the first time, kissed, and then we started dating 4 days later.
Yeah.
Because when you know, you know.
Yeah. And then we started dating like really, really fast because we already had all this history. Like we skipped a bunch of steps that normal couples get, which is like, oh, like how many brothers you have? Oh,
what are your parents like?
What is your parents like? Yeah, exactly. So we skipped all that. And yeah, within a week, I asked her to be my girlfriend. And then we started dating. But, you know, lots of things happened. And now you know, we're getting married. So,
yes.
You know, a long time, but it seemed like it passed in like 2 seconds.
I know. We were just talking about this before we started recording that it's been 4 years that we've been together. It's coming up on 4 years, which is crazy because it's also the longest I've ever been with someone and it's the longest you've ever been with someone.
Oh, by far.
So it's also, you know, a really cool thing. And I mentioned this on last week's episode, but we timed our wedding with our dating anniversary. So we're kind of combining them together now, which is nice. But yeah, that's
not necessarily on purpose. It just,
yeah, it just kind of happened that
just
way.
Just happened.
Because we were going to do it a week before we're doing it. And so it wasn't going to line up. And it ended up kind of coincidentally being that way, which was cool. But yeah, here we are a few weeks before the wedding. So let's just dive into the questions. Or do we want to talk about anything else?
No. Let's dive into the questions, I guess.
Okay, let's do it. So the first question is, what are you most excited about for your wedding day? And I'll let you go first.
I think, first of all, getting married. That's a big thing. That's the most. Being with Carolina for the rest of my life.
Aw.
No, that's so that's important. But we already have that. Like, we already live together. We already do life together, really. So I think what's unique about a wedding is just like getting everybody that we love together in the same place. And that is friends and family. Like family, I think it's easier because you get to see them most years. There's extended family that we don't get to see that often. But combining both families is, it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, it'll be the first time that like both of our entire families are together in one space.
Yeah. And then friends as well, right? So even though our wedding is like far away, it's not necessarily like the most far place ever, but it is somewhat, you know, a distance for people to go. So you can definitely see what friends took like an extra step to go and get there. And it's really, really awesome to see, you know, Carolina's friends going, my friends going, and getting to hang out for the first time, like all together. So
yeah,
really stoked for that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's so special. Even though our wedding is not a destination wedding for our family, it is for all of our friends, pretty much like high school friends, college, and post-grad. So it has been really special to see which friends made an effort to be there and are so excited. And I think that'll be so special. I'm also really excited about that. And I think that kind of takes me to my answer to this question, which is, what I'm most excited about when it comes to the wedding day is to get to do our vows in front of everyone. And even though we already did vows in Hawaii and we made our civil wedding more special than most people do because we didn't just go to a courthouse and sign a piece of paper, we had a small ceremony with our parents there and we did vows and we did rings. Our friends and extended family were not there to see us do that. So even though we feel married and our parents definitely also feel that we are married, not everyone else in our life felt us express that commitment verbally out loud to each other in front of them. And I think it'd be really special to really show how much we love each other to everyone that we love.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. It also takes time for people to process that you get married to one another.
Yeah, you know? True. But I do think that just having a wedding, being in a wedding dress, having a bridal party, like having this experience is going to feel really special. So I'm just excited about having this wedding. And the next question is, does it feel different planning the wedding even though we are married legally?
No.
What do you mean?
I don't think it changes anything really. It's the same process of, you know, getting vendors, getting everything working is the same thing. The only thing that's different is that I guess we live together, but we already lived together before.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing really changed.
Yeah, I mean, we've lived together for more than 2 years, I think 2.5 years. So when you live with a partner, you already kind of experience what it's like to be married in a way. But I also think when you do get married, it enhances the commitment and you end up having more conversations about finances as well and like future planning. But when it comes to the actual planning of a wedding, the process itself is the same, right? As you mentioned, like there's nothing really different about the planning. But when it comes to how it feels to be planning the wedding, I think there is a little bit of a difference, only in the sense that I think it's eliminated a lot of pressure off of the day.
True.
Because I was thinking about this, you know, people who don't do the civil wedding like further in advance from their real wedding day, it's like there's so much buildup to the wedding day. And I think that's why brides get really anxious and
that's very out. True. Yeah. I actually haven't thought about that. But yeah, like, I mean, you know, when people are planning their weddings or they're doing the actual wedding themselves, like people are nervous. I don't know. You know, it's like the moment that you become husband and wife. In our case, we're ready technically that it is super cool that we're doing that in front of everyone else, but we're already married, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no stress that maybe Carolina will like walk out and like not marry me, right? There's no, she's already married. She's already stuck with me. So, you know, there's no way that, you know, that's going to happen. So,
yeah. I think that's definitely something that has affected our experience. And I also think this is maybe a good moment for us to elaborate a little bit on why we did it the way we did. Because I think there's usually two scenarios. People either choose to have a wedding and then they do the courthouse wedding And they keep the courthouse wedding very, very chill. And they just go and they sign the paper. And maybe they like cheers champagne and go to dinner and that's it. Or they go and they say, F it, we don't want to have a big wedding. Let's just go elope. And it's usually just the two of those people. And they just go somewhere and get married. And maybe there's some close family. But then they just do the elopement. And we decided to do things in a very unique way. So
I do see that more people are doing this though. More and more people are eloping. More and more people are, you know, if they later on kind of decide that they want to do a like a celebration with friends and stuff. Like that happens. I think it ties a lot with the financial aspect of a wedding too. Because, I mean, it is an expensive ordeal.
It's an expense that maybe they don't want to have in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, I think there's many, many ways to go about planning a wedding. And, you know, if you want to elope or do a courthouse and how you want to do all those things. And if you want to have a big wedding or a small wedding, it's literally up to you to decide how you want to do it. And before we started wedding planning, like, before we even got engaged, but I think also after we got engaged, I always just imagined that we were going to just do the wedding and have this very traditional way of doing it. I did not really expect that we were going to do it the way that we did. And I also was kind of against it at first, if you remember. Like, I didn't want the civil wedding to be this crazy, meaningful thing. Like, I just wanted to sign the paper and, like, leave the meaningfulness for this big day.
You kind of wanted to hide to everyone that we actually got legally married.
But only after we did the ceremony in Hawaii. And the reason I didn't want to tell people is because I didn't want people to feel like, oh, but they're already married. Or, oh, what? Like, why is she still a bride? Like, why is she having a bachelorette? Like, she's already a wife. Like, I just didn't want to confuse people. And I think I was kind of, like, feeling weird about being different and, like, choosing a different path. But it's something I elaborated on last week's episode. In the fact that, like, the reason we decided to do this is because of our story. Because our parents are friends. And, like, our parents really wanted us to do something special for the civil wedding. Like, they didn't want it to just be sign a paper, be done with it. Mm-hmm. You know, there was also significance to them that, like, their kids were getting married. So they wanted to be a part of the moment, too.
Yep.
They didn't want the moment to just be signing a paper. And I think we then eventually decided that we also didn't.
Yeah.
So it's been a unique experience planning a wedding in this specific situation and given this route that we chose, but it's been, I think, a good one because it's relaxed us. Okay,
the next question is, did you know Pedro was going to propose? The question is asking if she, Carolina, had a sixth sense about this whole thing, and I have very personal opinions about this. But she can start answering the questions and then
okay, I'll correct try her. To keep my answer short, but yes, I did. I am a very, very intuitive person. I would say I have sort of psychic gifts, and I kind of don't talk about it that much, but a lot of the times I'll kind of know things are going to happen before they do, or I'll know something is going on in someone's life before they even tell me, or even if they don't tell me, I kind of already knew it was happening. But yes, I did think he was going to propose. Also, Pedro and I, we did have lots of conversations about getting married and timelines and like what we thought would make sense, but we never talked it down to the detail of like the month we were going to get engaged or the part of the year that we were going to get engaged. And also, we did not go ring shopping together.
Who goes ring shopping together?
So many people.
What, they just tell like, oh, I'm gonna buy you this ring?
Yeah, like you go to the people go to the store together and then they get the size of the rings. And, like, you figure out what your ring size is. And then you look at every single type of ring. And then you tell your partner, I want this one. Or I want this type of ring.
Well,
you can. And we did not do that.
Did you like your ring?
I love my ring.
Yeah. And it fit perfectly.
No, it did not. So because we did not go ring shopping, Pedro just did not ask me what my ring size was. He just used my Aura ring size to go about it. Pin. And it was so big on my finger.
I bought her the Aura ring. You know, when you do the Aura ring, you got to get her ring size. They ship like a little ring sizer thing.
Yeah, but it's and different.
Who knows? It's like you buy pants. It's a pants.
Thick ring.
No, just think about it. You buy pants, you buy small, medium, large, right? They're all the same size. You follow a standardized size.
Anyway, we did not go ring shopping. I showed Pedro a picture of a ring that I thought was pretty on my Pinterest board, and that was it. And I let him take the reins, and he ended up buying a very beautiful ring that I love.
That is true. The only thing she had input in was the shape of the rock. Initially, I was going to buy a rounded rock. And then I remember that she said she liked the oval or something. So then I went for the oval.
Yeah. Yeah, I did tell him that. But we did not go ring shopping. So I also had no context in terms of timing because we did not do that. But going into this trip that we took to Portugal and Spain, I remember being with my friend Gabby and I told her, like, I think I'm going to get engaged in this trip. And I think she was the only person I told. I think I told my friend Dory as well. Both of them are my bridesmaids. And I didn't really tell that many more people that I suspected it, but I did. And should we tell the...
Can I tell the story about the trip?
Hold on.
I feel like I know how to explain this trip pretty well.
Okay, fine, go.
All right, cool. So I was halfway through my master's program, spring break, right? So like we're already old. We don't have spring break after, you know, you graduate school. But because I was in my master's, I was like, yeah, let's go to spring break. Let's go to Portugal and Spain. So we do that. And, you know, that's to hide all the, you know, the details in the background that I was going to do to propose to Carolina.
That was all to hide it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
I chose Portugal and Spain because of that reason.
Oh, okay.
We could have gone to Mississippi or we could have gone to Kentucky, but no, we went to Portugal. But either way, I go and I already have the ring and everything, but I don't know when I'm going to do it. If I'm going to do it at the start of the trip, if I'm going to do it at the end of the trip, talk to a couple of friends and they all say, do it at the start. But I couldn't do it because I was not scared, but was anxious to tell her parents. Oh, because I wanted to ask her parents' permission before proposing.
A lot of people, I don't know if you know this, but like a lot of guys, like they ask for the parents' permission like before they even buy the ring. Like it's a whole thing. And like Pedro literally just like FaceTimed my parents like the day before.
Well, so that's what he just gave them a hint. But either way, I didn't do it in the start because I was scared or anxious.
Nervous.
So as for me, and if you know me, I'm a little bit of a procrastinator. Carolina says that I am a procrastinator. I waited until the last day to do it. It was
the last day of the trip.
Yeah, so the day or 2 days before, I asked Carolina's parents, and then the day after I asked her.
And this was when we were in Spain, in Madrid.
In Spain, in Madrid. However, Carolina has the wonderful idea to go out like the night before I'm going to propose to her.
I was like, we're in Madrid. We have to have a Spain night out.
I tell her, let's go. But we're going to do something very chill. We go fucking insane. We go
I think it was like the craziest night out we've had together.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was bound to happen. We like had dinner at like 10 p.m., like went to a bar, then like went to this crazy club in Madrid called Capital that has like 7 floors. And we made friends with people in line and we just like were going at it. But I remember before we went out, Pedro was like, we can't be hungover tomorrow. And also like before we even went out and, you know, when he was saying this, like, oh, we can't be hungover tomorrow. He was like, we're going to have a picnic tomorrow. Like I'm planning the whole last day of the trip. Like it's going to be a nice day. We're going to go to the park. Like I'm planning this great picnic. But he was adamant that we had to have a picnic basket.
Excuse me, please. Can someone tell me where the hell do you buy a picnic basket?
Amazon, probably.
Yeah, it doesn't exist when you're out there in a trip. Yeah. You don't think
so
of Amazon.
So Pedro goes scouring the entirety of Madrid looking for a picnic basket. And that kind of gave it away because I was like, okay, why is he making such a big deal out of this picnic? Like, Pedro never does this. And you were trying to be romantic,
yeah,
right?
I was trying to be romantic. And I remember a couple days before, Carolina told me that I wasn't that romantic and I needed to do romantic stuff for her. So that was the cover for the picnic. But I bought pillows, I bought the picnic basket, I bought a blanket. So the next morning, obviously we didn't buy anything the night before because we went out and we were busy. I was busy finding the picnic basket that I didn't buy food. So we went in the morning to buy food and we were like really, really hungover. And we go to like this really, really nice supermarket. It is so nice. One of the best supermarkets I've been. Like Corte Inglés. But it kind of like, there was like a fish section and it smells pretty
like
fishy.
Raw fish.
Like raw fish. And it's fine, right? Like you go to a supermarket, there's fish. It smells like fish. And Carolina was like,
I can't do it.
She almost puked right in this spot.
I mean, I had to like go back to the hotel room and like rest. And like, I had to lay in the bed for like a good 30 minutes. And then we were fine. But this is this type of stuff that like we don't disclose on social media, but we're spilling the tea. we're getting juicy on the podcast. Oh, juicy. So we're telling everyone the truth. But yeah, so we were like super hungover in the morning after this night out. We go to Corte Inglés, we pick up all the things, then we went to the picnic, and then Pedro proposed, and I'm sure you guys have seen the videos.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history, but I did have a sixth sense, and the night out when we were at this club, I think we had left, and maybe we went to McDonald's right next to it, and I was like, are you going to propose tomorrow? And didn't I say something?
You did, and obviously said no.
He was like, what are you talking about? But yeah, I did have a sixth sense, and I did suspect it and see it coming, but it was sweet no matter what. So,
okay, next question from Pray Slate Teach. She's asking, what is your experience with marrying or being with a Gemini? Apparently hers is too. Be warned of the Gemini.
Okay, I like this question because I think it's fun. I think Geminis get a bad rep and everyone always says like, oh, they're two-faced, this and that. But honestly, I love being married to a Gemini. I love you.
What do you love the most about me?
What do I love specific, most about you?
Specific about my Gemini nature.
Oh, okay. I love that you don't take certain things so seriously. Like, I can be very sensitive, and sometimes I take certain comments or feedback or, like, just some random thing someone says way too seriously, and, like, I take it way too personally, and you really help me kind of, like, see it from a lighter lens and not let it get to me so much. So I think that's something that's I like a
Gemini
a lot
thing
about.
Or just
yeah
a
I think
thing.
It is, because I think Geminis are able to like see the lightness of life and just kind of keep things like lighthearted, and I don't think Geminis are like super sensitive. If you're sensitive, it's more of your Leo moon than anything. But in general, I think Geminis do get a bad rep, but I think that things that I observe in being with a Gemini is that you have a social battery, so you sometimes are like really really social and you're able to like be laughing and telling jokes and all of that. And then there's other times that you're just like, you don't want to talk to anyone. Like, you just want to go be on your phone, doom scrolling. Like, you do not have a social battery.
I just want to comment on that. You know, I forgot what I was going to say.
That's being with the Gemini.
Damn it. I knew what I was going
to
say.
I also will say something else that I noticed with being with the Gemini is that I like to have very, very deep, long conversations. And I don't know if this is a thing with like girls and guys, or specifically because like I'm a Taurus and Aries and you are a Gemini. Like, I don't know. But sometimes I'll be like talking about so many things and I'll like say this 5-minute brain dump and you only are able to recall like the last thing that I said.
I think it's more of a thing from you, from your nature, from your Taurus nature, that you just kind of like compile all these this information and then you blast it at me, and then you just talk like really fast for really long and you keep on saying that. I'm not saying that's bad.
No, but it's true. I do that.
But it's true. Yeah, you know, it's also me being able to retain whatever you're saying, but also you for being
long-winded,
yapping,
a yapper. But yeah, I think those are two things that I noticed from you being a Gemini. And in general, like, you're really funny and likable and charismatic, and people are very drawn to you. And I think you're able to talk to anyone, you know, even though you're a bit shy. And I think honestly,
I thought you said that because you're a bitch.
No, even though you're a bit shy.
A bit shy. I'm a bit shy. Okay.
Which I think honestly, like most Geminis are a little bit shy.
Don't call me a bitch. I
You are really able to like open up to people once you feel comfortable, and then you're really funny and you'll make jokes as you just did. You also know a lot of really random fun facts, so
yeah, love my fun facts.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
Next question. This question comes in from Anna Karen Reyes. How has your relationship changed?
Or Anna Karen Hayes.
Yes, Anna Karen. It's just all together in the thing. She has two questions, actually. How has your relationship changed or grown over the years?
How has our relationship evolved?
I think that over the last 4 years, right? Around 4 years that I've been with Carolina, a lot of things personally has happened. So for her, she graduated college. For me, I was working at a company and then I did my master's, and now I'm working in a completely different field that I was before. These kind of like personal accomplishments for her and for me change the way like our day-to-day dynamic is, right? So I think we together, we are a pretty dynamic couple that we're able to change how our day-to-day is.
We adapt well.
We adapt well. But tying this back to the question, I think we evolved together as a couple way more recently than before after we moved in together. So when we first moved here to New York, we went to the same apartment and it was like kind of like a really fresh couple living together. And
we had been dating for like a year and a half.
But we hadn't lived together. It's completely different, you know, day to day.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of things that Carolina did that kind of annoyed me in the back, these are the things that, like, you start learning. I started learning that she's a yapper and she talks a lot, you know, all the time.
You knew that.
No, not to the extent of when you live with someone. And then our first apartment was a one bedroom. So it was
kind of small. So we were like around each other 24/7.
So by the end of that apartment, I remember Carolina was like, yeah, like we need some, you know, separation. And this was by the time that I was doing my master's. So I was somewhat doing it from home. A lot of the classes I was taking from home from the first semester
because of COVID. And you were working remote.
And I was working remote. So I was working from home. And then Carolina, because of her job, you know, like she also was working from home. So for a period of time, we were living all the time together. And when you
live, I honestly forget that happened.
Right. And when you live with someone for like all the time, there's all these little tiny things that can explode. And, you know, we're not perfect. Carolina and I, you know, sometimes we bicker. Carolina loves saying that we bicker.
We do.
We absolutely do.
And but, it's, you know, worse when we're 24/7 around each other.
Absolutely. So that was a period of time, right? Yeah. And then we moved to our second apartment. And this second apartment was like towards the end of my master's. So I was going to my university every day, almost at night. And I stopped working remote. So I was just doing that full time. So it was a period of time that I had not necessarily a lot of free time because I was still doing my master's full time, but I had more than I had before. So it was, you know, interesting there because Carolina was focused on all her social media stuff. And she went full-time content creator, podcaster, absolutely YouTube. Everything woman. And, you know, the dynamic changed there and the relationship kept strong. Some things that came from us hanging out too much now maybe became us hanging out too little. I don't know if that was all the time, but sometimes that was the case. And then now we're in the third apartment in New York. So I was talking to Yoni, a friend of ours, 2 days ago, yesterday. When you are in New York and you're in a city that you change apartments every year, it's like a fresh new start. Mm-hmm. That's why I keep emphasizing the apartments because it's like different eras.
It's
different
eras, yeah.
Different aspects of the city, which is super cool about New York. Also a little bit stressful, right? Because you're changing all the time. That's not also the case for everyone. But now in this apartment right here, I think we are in a period of our lives that we are already married. We're here, we're living together. I have my job, I have my 9 to 6 work that I do. Carolina works from home and then we meet each other at night. There's less time that we spend together, but you know, we recoup that in the weekends.
Yeah, I do think you made a very good point. I think that the moments of life that we have lived through together have shaped the relationship. When we first started dating, it was lockdown. And I was doing college classes remotely, living in Florida, living with my parents. And you were alone in Florida because your brother and your brother's wife were traveling. Your parents were in Brazil. So you were over at my house all of the time. Then there was a period of time, which was most of 2021. We were long distance because I went back to Penn for like 2 months before graduating, then moved to New York. And I was here for like 5 months alone before you moved. And then, as you mentioned, you know, you've had job changes, I've had job changes. And at this moment in our lives, you work in the office pretty much every single day. And I think that for me at first was really hard because I started to feel kind of lonely. So I had to learn that, like, I am an extroverted person. I benefit from, like, working in coffee shops or working with creator friends. And I think we've also learned to prioritize time together on the weekends. Because as you mentioned, there had been periods of time when we were almost, like, hanging out too little together. And maybe I was just, like, seeing my friends more or making plans with just girlfriends and, like, you weren't there. And then you would just be, like, at home alone when I was out. So I think we've also learned to prioritize quality time together. And that's probably like my top love language. So I think it's been very important for us to learn that.
Yeah. If, you know, you're still here and you're in the relationship, you know, just understand that it's dynamic. Things change all the time. And you just got to accept the change. You know, it's most of the times for the good. And over time, you improve on things that you previously think that were kind of like pain points or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think you made a good point about this, which is that we're dynamic. And I think it is possible for other people to be this way too. And it's just about staying flexible and meeting each other at each evolution of you and embracing the change as well. Okay, I feel like we've been yapping away, but there are still a few questions I want to get to. So for the next few questions, we're going to try to be as concise as possible, almost like rapid fire style. So let's go.
Let's do it.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. How do each of you give and receive love?
I give love by doing acts of service. I cook. Yes. I clean. I clean, especially clean.
And you don't cook.
Okay, maybe not cook, but definitely clean.
And you offer help with other things like planning trips and like flights and helping with little things here and there. And I think you receive love differently though.
I receive love and gifts.
That's it.
Yeah, I love gifts.
And that's been interesting for me to navigate because that's probably like, I don't know, it's not my top love language.
It's so not true. Carolina loves gifts. She just doesn't say it. So warning for any guys that are here. If your girl says that she doesn't like gifts, she loves fucking
no,
gifts.
No, it's not that I don't like gifts. Is that just, I think for me, spending quality time together and feeling heard, like, which I think is kind of like words of affirmation. That for me is a little bit more important. I also think both of us give and receive love through physical touch.
Yep.
So, okay. Next question. What was important to you to have in the wedding?
Carolina and I talked before this podcast about this. For me, it's olives. I fucking absolutely love an olive. So in this wedding, Carolina planned all of it. I planned none of it. And the only thing that I requested her was to have olives in like the food station. And hopefully, you know, that translates into something. Yeah. But I wanted an olive tower.
Whatever that is. Pedro asked for an olive tower. So we'll see how it comes to life.
Love olives.
And I think for me, what was important, I think the aesthetic and the vibe for me is really important. We're having a garden wedding and I've honestly been like teetering on like exactly what I want for the aesthetic, but I want it to feel timeless. I want it to feel ethereal. I want it to obviously have lots of green, which it's going to because it's in a garden. But yeah, I just want it to feel elegant and chic. And that's important to me.
Yeah, another important thing for me when we were deciding where to do the wedding, it was really important for me to do it at my house in Brasilia. I really, really wanted that. And obviously there's a bunch of complexities when, you know, you're doing a wedding in your house. For some, you might think, oh, it's cheaper because you're not paying for a venue.
But you yeah, we build. Definitely thought that.
Yeah, that's our initial thing. And then, you know, you start thinking like, oh, what about bathrooms? Like, where are people going to, like, our wedding is going to be for 300 people.
We're like, where are people going to park?
Where do people park? Where do people, you know, go to the bathroom? Where do, if the cups break, who's in charge? Like, who's going to take care of the cups, you know? Yeah,
also, like, your grandma lives there and basically all of your family, too. But, like, especially your grandma. And so she's going to kind of feel displaced in her own home for, like, 10 days.
A little. Because she's going to like, love it,
build though. A lot of stuff. But yeah, she's excited.
She's super excited about it. My whole family's excited about it. But it's like these details that you don't think about it. And in the end, it's the same cost that it would take to do it at the venue. But that was really important for me. I really wanted to do it at home because it means a lot to me.
And I think that helped us decide much, much more easily on like where and obviously when we were going to get married. It gave us a lot of flexibility because we weren't depending on a venue. And then I'll add in one more thing that was important to me, which is I want the party to be so fun. I want everyone to be dancing on the dance floor. So having a really good DJ was really important to me and having a good playlist. I also really want to have a first dance with Pedro. And so we need to learn some dance moves so that we're prepared for that because we have not. So we're going to have to find a YouTube video or something. And then the last thing that was important to me was to have a champagne tower.
Champagne tower together with an olive tower.
Both towers will be there. And just this goes without saying, but having a really good photographer and a really good videographer because that's how you remember the day. So I really wanted to hire a good person for that.
I think this will tie into the next question, but what about the scent?
Yeah. So someone asked, what were the fragrance notes you ended up picking for the wedding? So I always knew that I wanted to have a signature scent for the wedding. So Pedro and I, a couple days ago, went to Bloomingdale's to try on every single perfume in the store and figure out what we wanted. And originally, I thought that we were each going to have our own perfume. But then Pedro kind of advocated for us to have the same one.
It's also more cost effective. If you think about it, you buy one for both. So but that creates complexities, of course, because now you got to find something that would be good for both, right? Usually perfume are built either for women or for men. So you got to find something that fits both. But I wanted something fresh.
Yeah, we both love a fresh and like woody smell. We didn't want it to smell too much like a cologne, but we also didn't want it to smell fruity or like very sweet.
Yeah, it ended up being not sweet, but fresh, but with a little hint of wood in the back. So it's pretty good. Honestly, it was one of the first few that we tried and we really, really loved it. But the guy at Bloomingdale's was the guy that really sold it to us, I think.
Because we were smelling a bunch of perfumes and then he was like, this is the newest one.
And he's getting the name. It's green.
So yeah, just rounding it all up, we decided to do one scent for both of us, which I actually love because then we'll both remember the day through the same scent. And we wanted it to be fresh, airy, nothing too sweet. And so we ended up going with a perfume from Maison Francis Kurkdjian. And the name of the perfume is Acqua Media Cologne Forte.
And it was sold out.
And so it was like, sold out, so we had to order it.
But that means a little bit about, it tells you a little bit about the perfume itself, right? I guess people like it.
And the perfume also, it has like a green bottle, which we loved because it's the Brazilian color. And it is a mix of water and light. And also says that green is the middle color of the rainbow prism, which reflects balance in motion. And green is my favorite color, as you guys probably know, based on the Inner Growth branding and like my love for disco balls and plants. I love the idea of like reflecting light out. So I also love that this perfume has like ties to a rainbow. And the way that they describe it in the website is that this idea of balance in motion is embodied in the vibrant freshness of Acqua Media Cologne Forte, featuring bergamot, verbena, sweet fennel, and a Hedione woody musk accord. I honestly am obsessed. I'm so excited. And I'm really happy with what we picked.
Yeah. My favorite color is orange, by the way.
Yeah, but Pedro never wears orange. Okay, last question. This one's kind of a deep one. It goes, how do you deal with when your partner gets triggered by your actions?
Okay.
And Pedro has a lot to say on this, apparently.
Not a lot. I just have one point that I really want to bring. But either way, you know, being a Gemini myself, sometimes I do act a little different, act a little weird. And Carolina doesn't necessarily love my weirdness sometimes. Sometimes she wants me to be really serious about something. And sometimes I can be silly when I'm not supposed to be silly. So I think for her, she has learned how to deal with my way of being. But, you know, obviously, we still kind of struggle sometimes.
And I think that's true. Like, I've had to learn how to embrace Pedro's way of being, which I mentioned is actually something I like about you, which is your ability to not always take everything so seriously. But it is something that can be a little bit triggering because I love having deep conversations and being really, like, intense at times and just getting deep. And Pedro sometimes struggles with that. So I've had to learn to like navigate moments when I get triggered by his extreme silliness. And he's also had to learn how to embrace my need for depth and like honest, vulnerable, heart-to-heart conversations. I also think in general, when you're in a partnership, you are mirrors to each other in so, so many ways. And as you grow older, as you experience different moments together, and as you get to know someone more deeply, you also start to see their shadow side. And I think our shadow side comes out the most in our closest relationships. So as you get more comfortable with a partner, the more your shadow side might show. So learning to unconditionally love someone else and be in a loving relationship also comes down to understanding that the other person isn't perfect and they're gonna have things about them that might be triggering to you. And so you just have to learn how to calm yourself down in those moments. I think we've both had to understand how to like calm down our nervous systems when we're getting really triggered or bickering and kind of figure out what's important. And sometimes that means we need to like stop talking for a little bit and just kind of give each other space. And then we kind of come together and talk again when we're a little bit calmer.
Yep, exactly.
So
talking about it is important.
Yes.
Vocalize.
Yeah, I think we're both very good at communication and just like kind of putting it into perspective and getting clear on like what's really important here. And at the end of the day, it's us being partners to each other and like choosing to love each other and understand that there's things that I might want or like that maybe you don't and vice versa. And how can we find a middle ground?
Yeah, I'm typically I like to avoid conflict, but sometimes my nature just creates conflict.
That's true.
You know, It's just, you know, it's tough. Like, yeah, I'm not confrontational.
Really you're not confrontational, but you're really good at communicating. And you don't like, you know, if I'm upset, you don't like for me to just hold it in. Like, yeah. You want me to tell you.
I don't like people to be upset.
Yeah. So even though you avoid it, you're also really good at, like, handling what it needs to be. Especially with me. I think in general, you avoid certain other things, but we've learned to support each other in that area.
And I love stealing your socks.
Yeah, fun fact, Pedro steals all of my socks, and he wears socks mismatched because he cannot be bothered to match up his socks when he does laundry. So then little by little, my sock supply dwindles. And then I have to buy new socks.
It's a personality trait.
Yeah, it's a not so great personality trait that annoys me. But it's okay. I love you anyway. So with all of that said, that is the end of the Q&A today. I had a lot of fun. Did you?
So much fun.
Yeah, it was great having you on the pod again. People love you in the community. They always go crazy over our Pedro content.
Do they?
Yeah, people love it. Mm. So I'm excited for all the wedding content. I can't believe it's happening. It's weird. I've been planning this for so many months now. I can't believe it's coming to life. And I hope you guys enjoyed this laid back Q&A couples episode. Let us know if you did. Feel free to tag me in your stories or DM me. Tell me what you liked, if anything resonated. And thank you again for coming on the pod, love.
You're welcome. Anytime, my darling.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to water yourself. Take care of yourself. And I'll see you guys very soon.
Peace out.
Bye.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.